Steven, out of context, that sounds so bad.
It's a part of you.
Oh, you.
It's just sticking out of you. Everyone knows what it is. And
Steven, take off your pants. I need to inspect you for bed bug bites.
Welcome to the Survivor Turn Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast where the contestants do the rankings for us. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared, what are you ranking today?
Apparently, the best Survivor gifts.
Hey.
As Stephen pointed out to me before this, that this season has one of the best Survivor gifts of all time, and I immediately knew which one he was talking about. I even remember Dan, I think, is the one who's smiling. But maybe not. Maybe it's Charlie.
I know exactly who it is, and I'm not going to say anything because...
Dan just has that unhinged energy that makes you think it's him, but
sure.
We'll see. How are you doing, Steven?
I'm doing all right. It was a busy day today. Like, it was one of those days where I show up, and then I'm just chunking through things all day. Don't laugh at me.
You've got to blend your things up, Steven. You don't want to chunk through them.
Don't laugh at me like this. Anyway, no. It was...
I even tried to not let it be audible so you could just keep going, and you still called it out.
It's good because I get done with work. It feels like work goes faster when that happens, but also then I stand up and I'm like, oh my God, I've been working for like 4 hours. My hands hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little drained from end of month, end of quarter bullshit.
Yeah, and I've like all weekend I was busy, so I still feel tired from the weekend. So
the fake deadlines that companies put on themselves will never make any fucking sense to me. That like, oh, we have to get this thing on our books so it hits March, like our March books, instead of it rolling over. And it's like, yo, but who fucking cares? Because in the grand scheme of things, if it's in April, well, you just made your April a little easier. Like, why does it matter if it's in March or April?
Could be about taxes.
No, it's all because all of corporate America is short-term gain over everything else. Like, you're thinking 1 month at a time or 1 quarter at a time. You don't give a shit about the long-term picture.
We work in very different jobs.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
Our company is very much not short-term gain. It's long-term game.
That's fair. Well, it's the companies I work with, the companies that are customers, that are like, we have to get this off our dock and shipped. So it's on, so like it's for a reporting for quarter one. And it's like, okay.
Great. Awesome.
Sure. Whatever.
You betcha.
Yeah. I don't love corporate America.
Sure.
I don't think I'd love corporate any country, to be fair.
Corporate Canada. It's the same, but a little more syrupy.
We can't make fun of Canada right now, Steven.
I'm not making fun of them. I'm just expressing the realities of what it is to live in Canada.
Our relationship with Canada is strained. Not you and I's personally. Well, maybe a little bit. They know what they did.
What? You can't say, don't make fun of Canada, and then immediately make fun of Canada.
I can't help myself, Steven.
I like Canada.
Me too.
Canada's a great place.
I did a road trip one time through Michigan up to Toronto. I stayed in Montreal for a couple days and then went back and stayed in Toronto on the way back and then came back to Chicago. And I loved Toronto. Mm. I liked Montreal. I don't know if I loved it. I do also think that because my partner at the time spoke French a little bit and I did not at all, it was a more unpleasant experience for me because she got treated way nicer than I did.
Oh, I believe it.
And because she always started the conversations, they'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, great. And then I'd be like, dude, I don't know what you're saying. And they'd be like, ugh, fine. And then they speak perfect English, but they would hate doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Have I told you the French-Canadian story about me traveling abroad and them hearing my name and saying French-Canadian?
Oh, no.
I probably have, but I'll...
Well, yeah, you probably have.
I'll give the short version for those who haven't heard it in 2 years.
Or if they binged it, heard it 3 weeks ago.
Right. My grandfather was a farmer. He retired. He sold all his land and like took all of his extended family to Mexico. Like, he's like, I want to spend this money with you while I'm alive instead of giving you an inheritance when I'm dead and I can't enjoy it. I'm like, that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a different style.
It is, yeah.
But he took like 27 to 35 people to Mexico, and it was pretty cool.
Usually when people just uproot 27 to 35 people and take them to Mexico, it's to start a cult.
Or it's ICE.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
This is uprooting 27 to 35 American citizens at random. Yeah, that's about right.
The taxi driver took us from the airport to the resort, was talking to us, and like, "Where? What's your name? Where are you from?" Like, "Oh, Labine, we're from Minnesota." And the guy's like, "French Canadian name?" And he was like, no. Well, the name is French Canadian. We're not French Canadian. Ancestors were. He's like, "Okay, good. We don't like French Canadians here." I was like, "That seems kind of not okay."
Having been to Quebec, I get it.
But that was the thing too. I was like, "That seems not cool. Like, why would you just lump a whole bunch of people in together?" And then we get to the resort, and I forgot about it until there was one family that we had an issue with. Sure enough, they were French Canadian, and I'm like, "Oh." Oh, no.
Well, and my favorite video game podcast, Castle Super Beast, one of them is now lives in the Pacific Northwest, Canadian Pacific Northwest, but they both lived and grew up in Montreal, and one of them is still there, and they bitch about French Canadians constantly, and it's a good time.
French Canada, I'm sorry,
but you know what you did.
You know what you did. Speaking of knowing what you did, emails. If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com. Or you can message us on Reddit, @SurvivorTBT. Or on Patreon. You can find us on Patreon. Message us there. You can follow us for free on Patreon if you want. And message us. It's part of the game. I have an apology. And this is a pretty... Oh, it's a pretty low...
It's not to the French Canadians.
It's not to the French Canadians. It's a pretty low-stakes apology. Sometimes when I have a lot of emails, I try to get one from every single person, but I'm usually skimming while I'm doing it. So I'm like, oh, this one. I got a lot of people on our last episode. I thought I got one of everyone, but I can't read to save my life, so I thought Carl and Connor were the same person, and they were not.
We have never seen them in the same place at the same time.
I technically have.
Ah, damn it.
On one of our Patreon events.
Nice.
Which, we gotta do more of those. I gotta find a something that I can do and just like bring the Patreon together. Anyway, so I'm gonna read 2 Connor emails. Take that, society.
You're not my real dad.
You're not my real dad. I'm an adult. Are we unhinged today?
Yeah, I'm fucking burnt out.
Cool. Starting with Connor's...
I'm burnt out, and I'm through 1 of 4 processes. And not even. I'm 95% of the way through 1 of 4 directing processes that will take place over the next 3 months. And this is the lowest lift of all of them. That second lowest lift of all of them.
You're going to be a puddle.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Connor's episode 1 and 2 email. Personally, I'm not a fan of double boot episodes in the premiere. Later in the season is fine. In the premiere, it's harder to get to know the characters. We do know Red Tribe Fong is a mess. I don't know if they are Ravu Oolong level, but we'll see. In the Boulder Challenge, Marcus has his male part slip out of his briefs.
Oh.
Luckily, he was cool about it post-season. Producers are very lucky that Marcus is such a laid-back guy. Oh, apparently, like, this just happened and maybe was shown on TV.
Oh.
Oh.
Like, they forgot to blur it.
Oops. I think the cast of Gabon is very diverse. Almost half are BIPOC, and with Gillian being from South Africa, I believe, and Ace being somewhere from Europe, it gives the season some new firsts as far as diversity.
That's fair. Upon further inspection, this cast is more diverse than I originally thought on like first glance, but mostly because one tribe is diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Like original Fong is quite diverse. Original, whatever the other tribe
Coda.
Name is, Coda is not.
But that's no fault of the shows.
Nope.
It's the fault of...
Besides letting them pick their own tribes, which they shouldn't do because it never goes well.
Yeah. I think West Africa is much easier conditions than the savannah of East Africa. Granted, the wildlife is still a big danger.
As we saw on the next time on for this episode.
But with the pre-made huts, I think the producers learned the lessons of how dangerous the lions roaming the camp in Kenya in season 3 were. I was curious who you guys like so far.
Okay, wait, I do want to address that last point, though, because, like, they had a... If anything, they scaled it back from Kenya. Like, they had, like, a whole wall in mm-hmm. Kenya. These are just two small huts per group. But I actually wrote down in this episode that that it's growing on me. The scenery is growing on me. It still feels weird not being on an island at times, especially with Exile Island.
Sure.
Not being an island, like, that is odd. And just makes me like, you know the way, start walking. Like, there's not a boat here to take you there. Just start walking to Exile. But, like, all in all, it's growing on me. I actually, hot take, I think I might like Gabon as a location better than China as a location.
Ooh.
I never thought I would have said that. Who do I like so far? I think Ace is entertaining for TV. I don't like him, okay. But I think he's entertaining for TV. I really like Sugar, actually. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised by that. Corinne, is that her name?
Yep.
She's had a couple interesting moments. Is Charlie's the gay one?
Charlie's the one who's thirsting over Marcus.
Okay, great. I couldn't remember which one was Charlie, which one was Marcus. Yes, I like Charlie and I like Randy a lot. And Ken is starting to grow on me a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, what about you?
I, without giving too much away, just like on vibes alone, I enjoy Sugar. I enjoy...
And Crystal. I forgot Crystal.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy Randy just from a watching standpoint, not vibes.
Sure.
The vibes are not immaculate, but he's a funny guy.
I don't know. He kind of goes, for me, like the old curmudgeon with a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, he's going to say crass things, but I think he is, like, a good person. Like, I don't think... listen, this could be immediately spoiling like milk. He doesn't scream to me to be somebody that's going to, like, drop a slur or something, or, like, say something, like, that's, like, hateful. He's just going to be like, these guys are fucking idiots.
Sure.
And, but he has a good heart. We'll see.
I like Maddie. Maddie's fun.
Oh, Maddie's pretty fun.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of kind of puddle right now. There's a lot of people, and some of them, mostly the blondes, kind of blend together.
Yeah, this whole episode, I was like, which one's Jackie, which one's Kelly? But I do think this cast is weighing down this season a little bit, even though I just listed off a bunch of people I like. I like them. None of them are crazy good star material. Like, there's no, like, Yao Man or someone like that. I mean, I love Bob, too. I didn't mention Bob.
Yeah, Bob's cool.
But nobody's, like, standing out that much. Like, there's no way they're like, ooh, that person is coming back to play this game.
Hmm.
It's kind of a bummer.
Okay. The Yellow Coda tribe seems to have stronger players, with Fong having better characters. Although Ace and Sugar are great characters, plus Bob Nye, the science guy, is cool. Little known fact, he was Julie Berry's high school physics teacher in Maine.
Huh, okay.
Hmm. Also, I don't know if you guys still have your N64. Oh, yes, I do. And remember Tarzan from 99. I think Tarzan may take place somewhere in Gabon. However, the gorillas in Gabon are lowland, while the gorillas in Tarzan are mountain gorillas, and that's more in the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'll find a map of gorilla habitats and send it over. Thanks for the commitment and coverage of 17 seasons. It's a big deal.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to Josh. Josh says, I'd say Big Brother is my toxic reality TV relationship I can't stop watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually bad, but when it's good, it's really good. There's a really good video essay about Big Brother on YouTube called My Favorite Show Hates Me. That I thought was really good and had a fitting title. Jared can't watch it due to Survivor spoilers, but other people should check it out. The jump to HD was... Go on.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at the number of things that I have to, like, not watch to do this podcast. Like, I have to create a specific media ecosystem for myself that is approved by Steven.
You just have to live in a bubble.
Basically. Thank God I'm not online in the places that those types of spoilers would reach me.
Right. Luckily, the Survivor fandom kind of dies down a little bit. However, it's coming back, which is might make it a little more difficult for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of glad that I've seen David versus Goliath, kind like a little bit. I don't know. a little glad because I did see an Instagram, like just in like somebody's Instagram story, a reel of like, this is the man who created White Lotus, and it's it's him on Survivor.
It's Mike White. Yeah. Yeah. I'm hearing interesting things about White Lotus. I watched the first season and like, it's fine. It's not a genre of thing that I like as much.
I really liked it. And then your spouse stabbed me in the back.
Nice.
By watching it without me.
Yeah.
Something I truly don't hold a grudge over anymore.
Sounds like you hold a grudge, Jared.
No, I would never.
Okay, anyway. The jump to HD was big for Survivor at the time. Gabon was chosen as the location because it was the most stunning location for them to show off their new fancy HD equipment.
That makes sense.
I also think Survivor at this point doesn't see itself about being just about the game and still sees itself as an adventure show as well.
Okay.
The In Memoriam was about a crew member who drowned during the filming of season 18. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm not really sure of the exact circumstances that caused it to happen. If it was a dream teamer who like was testing a challenge and drowned, that would be the most heartbreaking thing.
Yeah.
I mean, no circumstance of a death on a crew is good. But
no, obviously. But like it couldn't have. Odds are that it wasn't from some negligence or something like that, or it probably wouldn't be in the show. Like, I don't know. We'll probably learn some more from our listeners, but usually it's rare if it's something that is a lawsuit for them to even acknowledge it at all.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Steven might disagree on this, but when I rewatch older seasons, I do like that sometimes the show just lets an obvious boot happen. In compared to season 48, where they just throw a ton of random shit in to prevent a straightforward, unanimous vote from happening. There are some people who say that any episode that ends with a straightforward boot is bad, and those people annoy me. I'm with you there. A straightforward vote isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world. Here's where I think 48 kind of gets away from that. One, having smaller tribes and more tribes obviously gets in the way of straightforward votes.
Mm-hmm.
When the numbers are few and far between, the margins are slim and you got to make that make sense. Yes, there are more advantages and more things that people can just throw at the wall to make people think. It's kind of the game forcing these tough decisions.
Sure.
Rather than, oh, everyone just pile on the person who sucks. So I'm there with you. Sometimes I want the person who sucks to go home. Sometimes I kind of want to see the chaos happen.
I think I don't watch the new seasons, obviously, but for me, when we see an episode that is straightforward boot, what I want the show to do is focus on a story that isn't about the vote.
Mm.
Give me alliance, like give me different, like what different alliances are thinking. Give me a character story. Give me Sugar finding the idol. Like, I mean, that's going to get its own spot regardless because it's important, but give me some relationship building. Like, just don't make it about the vote and then do the vote because I don't necessarily care at that point. Like, okay, that person's gone, but let's set up something further down the road instead of pretending there's drama where there isn't.
Yeah. I'm there with you. Like, there's no need to make it be something it's not.
Yeah.
But if there's something there, by all means, let's live into it.
Sure. And yeah. I've been fooled a couple times where the vote was pretty straightforward, and they got me to thinking it wasn't as straightforward as it ended up being.
Yeah. And honestly, sometimes when you go in thinking that it's a straightforward vote, and it just is, that's the biggest blind side of all.
Mm-hmm. Because you're like, well, that person's safe. I mean, that kind of happened to me this episode, actually. Because Sugar said something like, at Exile to herself or to the camera or whatever, being like, well, you know, Kelly's gone. They lose immunity and Kelly's gone. And I was like, oh, so Kelly's safe. Oh, no, Kelly was safe. Jackie went home.
Correct.
These blondes, man.
What's the opposite of three non-blondes?
What?
It's a band, Three Non-Blondes.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to look up. They have a famous song, but I can't remember what it is.
All right.
Anyway, speaking of 48, last week's episode, which would be 2 weeks by the time this comes out, was so emotional and so like powerful that I want to share it with you so bad, Jared, but I can't. So I'm going to share it with this specific audience. I cried. Jeff cried. It was an emotional experience.
I'm excited to talk about it in 2029.
Okay, moving on to Michael C's email from Gabon episode 1. To clear up some things, I have never seen this word before. Gabonese?
I think Gabonese
makes sense. The Gabonese government was very involved in the season with their government being invited to the reunion. Oh, that's fun.
Whoa, that's cool.
So I would say many of the production design and other elements were vetted and approved by their government.
Great. I feel a lot better about it than immediately.
We list the people of color in this season, Crystal, Paloma, Susie, Kenny, and CG. So not super diverse, but 5 out of 18 is not the worst they've done or will do.
Fair enough.
That being said, Coda, especially the Onion Alliance, is very heavy on the yuppie coding.
Yeah.
I do feel like I would see a lot of them on a boat out in the on the lake here in Chicago.
Oh, they own a yacht, 100%.
Looking at the careers overall, I kind of wonder if they were going for a bit of white-collar versus blue-collar divide with hairdressers, lawyers, etc.
That'd be a really cool idea if they would have pre-made the tribes to be that way.
I believe they combined the first two boots into one episode because the ratings actually dropped during Micro, and the network was less confident in the show. Hmm. They'll do this a couple more times, including one season that is universally beloved.
It's crazy to me that every season we get someone writing in saying, like, and the network was worried the show was going to fail. Like, yeah. It's just every single season.
They'll also do some 2-hour one-boot premieres for what they see as prestigious seasons.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Also, to clear something up, something else, with Bob, the Onions have a majority of 5 on a tribe of 9. Not a tie, like was said. I think we did mention a tie, but... I knew what was going on.
I thought Bob was the swing vote. I didn't. Okay, I gotcha.
I mean, he is the swing vote.
Right, yeah. I know. I don't remember thinking it was a tie, but who knows? What I say and think is a mystery to myself.
In one ear, out the other.
In my mouth, out my brain forever.
There's also some other factors at play on Coda that will give them a solid majority, but I'll save that. There are alliances on Fong, but they aren't particularly relevant yet.
Mm.
I've heard Gabon described as a season of first boots, but I don't agree with that, as there are some good players in the cast. Not sure why the Jillian shade, but by all accounts, she's a lovely woman who continues to be active in the fan community and hosts events and live versions of the game. I like Jillian.
Oh, I like her. She seems a little annoying, and we were sort of, to be in the game with. Like, to be clear, I'm talking about, like, if I was on Survivor, I don't want to be on a tribe with Jillian. And we were sort of taking the piss out of her a little bit with, like, being from South Africa at a time when it was of apartheid, and then marrying somebody from Germany that would have been in that same generation of, like, ugh. But that was mostly a joke. Yeah.
I mean, she's no Wanda, let's be clear.
Oh, my God.
Finally, the in memorandum, as we talked about, dedicated... Oh, hold on. Okay, this is different. This says the memorandum was... dedicated to Rudy's wife, Marge, who passed away between Micronesia and Gabon. So we have two separate accounts here. I want to...
We'll need to vet that. Something we do really well on this show.
And has a note for me that I, once again, acknowledge, can't say to Jared.
Man, that season of First Boots thing is going to stick with me, because I was thinking this entire episode about how... I kind of mentioned it in the previous email, like, not a lot of star power on this season.
Sure.
Hmm.
Moving on to Carl's episode 1 email. Survivor Gabon. Normally I leave my opinions for later on to let Jared form his own, but since he seems so negatively predisposed towards this season from the jump, I will say that I fucking love Survivor Gabon.
Hmm.
It's a very different season from Micronesia, but I don't think that makes it bad at all.
I'm enjoying it way more than I thought I was going to.
Excited to see if you guys end up agreeing or not. And that was a really fun premiere podcast episode.
Thank you.
Picture the episode. It's cinder blocks. Literally. Just kidding. Those are crystal shoes. Also, Randy just bleeding.
Just bleeding in the dark.
Yeah. Notes. Kenny was actually a huge celebrity in the video game / esports world at the time. I know, he's the king of Smash. For 4 or 5 years in the mid-2000s, he had the best win-loss ratio in the world of Smash.
Okay. I wonder what, like, his gamer tag was.
Apparently, there are even moves that are named after him.
Cool.
Neat.
Or if he just went by his name, Kenny.
There was a TV Guide special on the Gabon premiere at the time of its airing, and its tagline was one of my favorites. Somebody is going to get hurt by an animal or a dumb move. That's kind of cheesy, and I like it.
It can be both.
Corinne pregame had a clip where she said something like, how it's not good to just be nice. That's not endearing. One time I was at summer camp and I hit a girl in the face with a tennis racket. That's endearing.
What? No, it's not. Does she know what endearing means? The first half of it, yeah, she's kind of right. It's not like, I've talked about like kind versus nice before, but then she goes on to say the most unhinged shit possible.
And Susie's pregame clip featured her wearing a t-shirt with a picture of her son on the front and on the back. She was showing it off, but her son hadn't given the show permission to use his face for whatever reason, so it was just a giant blur that made it look like she was wearing something obscene.
Maybe that's why he did it, because he knew they'd have to blur it out.
That's funny.
She's wearing a shirt with a giant dick on it.
The second immunity challenge became infamous for an unblurred shot of Marcus's penis.
Oh, okay.
There it is. You go. Sneaking through his underwear. I bet Charlie was the first one to spot it. Nice.
Charlie's like, give me that unedited episode right fucking now.
On the depiction,
he's the thirstiest person we've seen on Survivor, and that includes like several actual showmances, one that ended in marriage.
He is very thirsty, and he keeps referencing it, and it's a problem.
Amber and Rob got married before the reunion, and they were more focused on the game than Charlie is.
On the depiction of the cultures in which Survivor films, I think the best thing would be to include a short snippet of two people from the country and culture speaking on their land. Maybe at any time they have a culture-adjacent challenge, they have a 5 or 10 second clip of Gabonese people explaining the significance. I don't really think the solution is just to avoid it altogether. Who learns anything at all about Gabon in that case?
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. I actually really like that idea. I think that the instinct of like just don't deal with it is like you have 48 minutes and you have hundreds of years of history to unpack around colonialization. So like I don't know, just don't. But I would love to learn a little bit more about the people and the cultures in the areas that they go to.
Yeah.
I'm also a giant fucking history nerd. I don't know if that's going to sell on mainstream TV in 2008.
Anyways, I don't see anything problematic depicted in this episode. Here are some pictures of traditional Fong wood carvings, which, as you'll see, are this is the idol.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Like, it's very much representative of the idol.
That's awesome. Maybe we need to start giving the show a little bit more benefit of the doubt as opposed to the early seasons. We came from some rough times.
We did. So
Amazon idol still haunts my dreams.
So I get the concern, but I would not call the idol blackface. If anything, I think it's a pretty cool tribute to the people of Gabon.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they went with the style of the first one that he sent, which is, as I showed you, very much looks like the idol, rather than the second one, which is a woman with very pointy boobs.
Sure, yeah.
I would be very distracted by that portion. Anyway, fun fact, Shakira's Waka Waka song was sampled from a song called, I'm going to screw this up, Zongawela, which, although sung by a Cameroonian group, is partially sung in the Fong language.
Oh, cool.
I do love Waka Waka. That was the World Cup song in 2000... I don't remember when it was, but it was a good song. I feel like maybe Jillian said African word because she knew if she said this is an Mbeer word or whatever language it was coming, it came from, her tribe would be like, what the fuck's an Mbeer?
Fair enough.
But yeah,
down a little bit.
I had the same thought. I wonder if anyone got, oh my God, we're throwing all the hard words at Steven today. Bilharzia or any other tropical African disease from running through standing swamp water. I mean, that's definitely something you're not supposed to do as a foreigner. Or a local for that matter, probably.
Yeah. Like, just there's a reason why animals don't drink from still water. Or like really fuck with it that much.
There's a town in Minnesota called Stillwater. Anyway. After watching 16 seasons now, it seems like the we need a leader conversation is the biggest red flag that a tribe is already fucked.
I would agree.
Things I liked. Maddie calling Jillian a slow-moving human being. You want to see the elephant dung?
A local delicacy.
You want to see my dung? Anyway. Charlie telling Marcus, I panic when I'm not around you, and that his life is 10 times better on the show than at home. Actually, that sounds kind of sad.
It does sound kind of sad.
Crystal's excuse for having heavy shoes. You're an Olympic athlete going on Survivor, and you thought to wear tennis shoes. Why wouldn't you wear good athletic shoes? Were those shoes for fashion?
It does. Yeah, I have several questions, especially about how all of them came dressed, but I think we've established that they probably told them it was the photo shoot.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, maybe the show made her wear them.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? And finally, the walkout of Tribal Council. It's a beautiful shot. Looks like the elephant graveyard from The Lion King.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing that I can't get over sometimes, but I'm starting to become accustomed to it with, like, Gabon as opposed to, like, a tropical island, is when they come walking into a challenge and they're just the challenge in the middle of a field, I'm like, so they just saw them coming from like a mile away.
Yeah.
Like they were just walking and they're like, oh, hey, it's over there. Well, okay, we'll be there in 20 minutes. Or like they leave Tribal and it's like, all right, now walk down this path for 15 straight minutes.
It could be a situation because I know in some seasons they have someone in a boat come pick them up and bring them to challenges. It could be that they just send someone with a Jeep.
Yeah, maybe.
Go pick him up.
Maybe.
And then last email is from Connor. Connor, episode four.
Well, we're recording episode three today. Is Connor from the future?
No. No, okay, I get it. Episode four, week three. He's combining the two. I'm going to actually save this because this is the episode that we're about to talk about.
Okay.
So we'll save this for next time.
Okay. Thank you, future Connor.
Thank you, future Connor. May you guide us all. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on October 9th of 2008. A couple things I pulled in the week between episodes. Former NFL star O.J. Simpson found guilty of charges of kidnapping and armed robbery.
Ope.
The Emergency Economic Stabilization Act, the $700 billion bailout for the U.S. financial system, is signed by George W. Bush. Yeah. This one's weird, but whatever. I get these facts from onthisday.com. They put their own fact in here. On this day, then historyorb.com receives its first major overhaul and redesign. I thought that was kind of cute. Music, podcast, and video streaming service Spotify is launched.
Hey.
So you can be listening to this on Spotify and be learning that this episode covered the time in which Spotify was released. I forgot to talk about the number one song last episode. It is Whatever You Like by T.I.
Nice.
And then, Steven, I'm just going to pull one more thing before movies that I thought could be a fun one that I thought of 17 seasons in. So here we are.
Okay.
Broadway shows from 2008.
Okay.
So
I feel like this is a once per season kind of a situation.
There's a lot of them because it's not just musicals, it's plays as well. And, you know, some things don't run the full year. They might close within it. So I'll pull a couple each. It'll be from the year itself because they're kind of all over the place and they're not ordered very well. But first two I'll pull, title of show,
okay,
which has the lyric or song title that is kind of the thesis of how we made this podcast. So that's kind of fun.
Okay.
And 13, a new musical.
I love that, like, hey, I'm going to pull some shows, and then you pull one that's kind of obscure and one that's only famous for making Ariana Grande famous.
13 made her famous?
She was in 13.
Was she?
I'm pretty sure. Michaela says
okay,
yes.
Michaela yelled through the room, yes. Okay, got it. Well, I'm gonna tell you, Steven, they get way more obscure from there.
All right.
So maybe this bit will die. We'll see. The top five movies are Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, Eagle Eye, Bodies of Lies, Beverly Hills Chihuahua, and then number one, and the movie we're going to talk about, Quarantine. Steven, are you familiar with quarantine?
Yes, I lived it for a year and a half. Why do you ask?
I couldn't stop laughing. The movie Quarantine.
No.
It is a horror movie.
Oh.
Well, it's October, so that makes sense. Reporter Angela, Jennifer Carpenter, and her cameraman Scott, Steve Harris, are doing a story on night shift firefighters for a reality TV program. A late night distress call takes them to a Los Angeles apartment building when the police are investigating a report of horrific screams. As if the police would just show up for horrific screams. The TV team and emergency workers find an old woman who suddenly attacks with teeth bared. What's more, Angela and company find that the building has been sealed by CDC workers. Then the attacks really begin.
Like anyone would listen to a CDC worker.
Like they would actually quarantine if the CDC told them to.
Oh, it makes me sad.
What do you think this rate on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
I'm going to go with kind of a mid score. I will say a critic score of 60, an audience score of 66.
You're pretty close. It's a little lower than that. Critic score of 55. Audience score of 44.
Oh.
Which I feel like horror movies usually have higher audience than critic.
That was my thought.
The consensus being, Quarantine uses effective atmosphere and consistent scares to stand above the crop of recent horror films. Yikes. Wait, 55 is higher than recent horror films? Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Then let's get into the episode. Episode 3, It Was Like Christmas Morning.
Wait, when is this said?
I have no idea.
Are they just not using quotes now?
We're just making it up as we go, I guess.
Weird. Okay. A couple things on the last time on. Jeff just sounds bored.
He does
sound
bored.
In the
last
time on. And I don't remember that happening in quite a long time.
It kind of comes and goes, doesn't it? Like, all right, Jeff, we got to do these voiceovers. And he's like, do I have to? I got a bath going on, and we'll just bring it up here. I'll just do it while I'm relaxed.
Wait, so in this reality, there's either a bath in the CBS studio he's using, or they're having them record him in his home.
I guess, yes, I was thinking that he was doing it in Gabon for a second, and I'm like, wait, no, he would definitely do it back in LA.
No, I like this reality that he does the recaps at that point in time. Like, they do 3 days, they send somebody home, and then they go, okay, Jeff, get in the booth. We're going to do the recap of what just happened.
Last time on Survivor. I don't know, man. I'm just like, I'm pretty relaxed. There's some bath salts here.
Yeah, I don't think Jeff liked this season very much.
Fong sucks, and GC sucks, and that's it. That's the recap.
But, like, why is Jeff so hung up this season on competition? Like, and not like individual, like he's so obsessed with making this a horse race between the tribes.
He is.
I don't understand it.
He's always kind of been like that.
But it's always been when it feels natural. Mm-hmm. Like, now it feels like he's forcing it.
He certainly didn't jump on people's back like this in Palau.
Like, that tribe is a disaster.
Yeah.
But it's weird.
The Palau tribe was absolutely dominated, but, like, yes, he jumped on them, but it took some time to build to where we are right now with the Fong tribe.
Is it effort? Because the thing with the tribe in Palau that lost everything was a lot of those challenges were actually very close.
Yes.
And they won some reward challenges, too. They just lost every immunity challenge. Like, I think because of the end score that we think of that tribe is worse than they were.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually weren't a terrible tribe. But, like, this tribe is falling apart, and half of them aren't even trying in challenges.
I think that might be it, is that he's watching people make a mockery of his game.
Oh.
Why aren't you trying?
Self-righteousness.
He does like a good self-righteousness.
Yeah. Anyway.
But I get it. It's your product. Have some pride in your product.
At this point, it's like his baby.
It is his baby. Well,
he's been doing it for 8 years.
I don't know about at this point. Eventually, it is his baby.
Sure.
So we get back from Tribal, and Ace says that Tribal sucks. It's a bloody god-awful experience up there with getting my wisdom teeth out.
Okay, Ace. And I also think his accent is fake, because I think he dropped it a couple confessionals by mistake.
I had one confessional where I'm like, where'd the accent go, Ace?
Yeah.
Where'd it go?
I don't think that's a real dialect.
Kelly voted for me, and I will be the next lamb. She'll be the next lamb to the slaughter.
Okay.
I think I did Australian there, but it's fine.
His accent goes all over the place too, so you're just in character correctly. Yeah, I understand why you keep Ace around. I understand why he doesn't go home this episode. He is entertaining for us as the viewer, and he's very good to have on your tribe. Jesus Christ, he's pretentious as hell, and that's coming from me.
He's coming across as some of these people that we've seen before, where it's like, if you slight me in any way possible, I will make sure that your life is a living hell.
Yeah, he's like, he's actually doing a little bit of fair play, where like fair play in Pearl Islands was like more like, but he was like playing character and like fuckboy character or party boy character almost. But Ace is playing like, oh, you may attempt to poison someone. I'm just saying Bond villain with more words again, aren't I?
He is Bond villain-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over at Fong, Ken talks about, hey, can we cook some sweet rice, please?
How? What do you mean? What is that? What are you adding to it? What are you talking about, Ken?
I don't know. I don't, like, I'm sure it's something that they came up with to, like, throw something in and it gives it some flavor. And Randy's like, have you seen the rice? We're over halfway. Like, we need to start rationing our rice.
Randy's like, we got to go down to one meal like, a day.
We have to.
They should have started at two meals.
Correct. Ooh. And that's what Randy's saying. Like, that's what he said last episode. That's what he's saying now. Like, we are already way...
Last episode, Randy was saying two meals a day. Mm-hmm. Now he's saying we need to cut down to one, which makes me think that they did not cut down to two.
Yeah. And Ken's like, well, after today, then we can preserve. Randy's like, okay, hold on. I'm going to say my speech and then I'm going to shut up. But like, it has to be said, we need to stop doing this. Like, we need to preserve. Otherwise, we're not going to survive out here.
If you're one of the new people that on this episode goes to Fong from the other tribe, you must be pissed.
You're absolutely screwed.
Assuming that their tribe rationed well.
That's true. We don't know.
We don't know, but assuming.
Randy says, it's called Survivor. It's okay to be a little bit hungry, right?
He's right. He's an asshole, but he's right.
And Crystal, Kenny, and GC are not with me, and they haven't listened to me since we got here, so what's it gonna do?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Randy and the other four, or three others, excluding Ken, Crystal, GC, go off and talk, and they're like, let's just make this the group, because clearly those other three, they don't care.
I mean, GC's got to go, man. I like, Randy's right. He is a cancer on the tribe. He's impossible to work with.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, we don't even get all that much of him in the first three episodes. And he, like, if I was going to make a list of, like, the 10 people I would least want to be on a tribe with, I think he's making that list. He might be towards the bottom of that list. Like, he's not the number one person I wouldn't want to be on a tribe with. But he's somewhere between like 8 and 12.
Who's the number one right now for you?
I mean, Ted.
That's fair. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're excluding like sex pests and just going off of like people that I wouldn't want to be around.
Which again, is more than one at this point.
It's three I can think of off the top of my head.
Who's the third?
Redacted, the creepy guy from Thailand, and Ted. The first boot in Thailand. That was making everyone uncomfortable.
Man, the priest.
The pastor. It's
fine.
Oh,
yeah. I blocked him out of my brain.
Yeah, but if I'm just trying to think of, like, who would annoy me and I'd want to be around the least, ooh, that's tough. It might be Terry. I mean, at least I'd be well-fed with Terry, though. You know?
That's fair.
I'll have to think about it. I'll get back to you.
Okay. I mean, I was on the train this morning with someone that reminded me of Shane.
I would love to be on a tribe with Shane.
I don't think I would. I think
Survivor's boring. That would be, when you're on the island, people constantly tell us how boring it is.
Sure.
That's free entertainment.
I think like...
Oh, no. It's Jean Robert. It's Jean Robert and it's not even close.
Okay, anyway, they talk for a little bit, and it's Maddie, Susie, Dan, Randy. They're like, this is the four. Maddie's having a hard time with Crystal. Randy needs to cut out the cancer of GC. And boy, this it's for...
He's right. It's a cancer. Yeah. Like, the way he brings down the tribe, it is a cancer to your tribe.
This four, this is a tight four, and we're going to go really far with it.
For the next 36 seconds.
Then we cut to...
Survivor editors did them so dirty showing this.
It's great. I love it.
So funny.
And then we cut to something different. It's not a reward. It's not anything. It's just, you're going to rank your tribe. Top to bottom, individually rank your tribe.
They just took all the subtext out of the chop, the rope challenge, the
pecking order challenge.
Pecking order challenge. Took all the subtext out of it.
You're right. Okay, what do you feel? How do you feel about this?
Hot take? I like it.
I kind of like it too. It's not something you can do frequently.
No.
Because as soon as people catch on to what you're doing.
You can gamify it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really like it.
It's fun. Part of me wants them to release the actual totals of what people scored. But part of me is like, then you're just dogpiling on these people who were unliked.
I wouldn't mind telling us what it is. Mm-hmm. Although you can kind of tell. Like, the alliances mostly had their people towards the top.
Yeah.
With a little bit of variation in there. So you can kind of tell that, like, the alliances put themselves, like, they put each other in the top four.
Sure.
Except for, I think, Susie got shoved down to the bottom and Crystal got brought higher up.
Yeah. Because Crystal, physical asset.
Yeah.
Susie, not so much.
Well, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they go off, they fill out their boards in private, and then we come back and they're like, all right, here's your order. For Coda, Marcus was number one, followed by Ace, Bob, Charlie, Jackie, Corinne, Sugar, and Kelly. For...
feels bad if you're Sugar.
Does feel bad if you're Sugar. Well, it feels worse if you're Kelly.
Well, sure, but Kelly, at least it's like, oh, I'm on the outs. I was with Paloma. I'm not liked in this tribe. Mm-hmm. Sugar, I'm liked and have an alliance, and they still put me second to last.
She's underestimated, and
yeah.
She said that to us.
That can be a great weapon.
It could be a good weapon. And they talk. There's some great sound bites here in this section, like how Kelly is talking about how she was kind of pissed that she's at the bottom, and Ace is like, you're a whiny little... cow.
He really had to stop himself from saying bitch.
He did.
He, like, buffered when he, like, stopped after that, like, whiny little, you saw the spinning wheel of death for YouTube. cow.
And you don't do anything. That's the one where I noted
he dropped the accent.
There's no accent here.
And but, like, he made it sound like Kelly threw his big temper tantrum, and, like, Kelly didn't. Kelly was like, yeah, this sucks. And, like, she was obviously, like, a little mad.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, oh, Kelly, she made this big dramatic thing of it. I'm like, you really wanted her to.
Right.
She didn't.
What's the opposite of rose-tinted glasses? He's looking at her with the most green putrid glasses of all time.
Yeah, it's maybe, I don't know, the way he goes after, like, one woman individually at a time to bully does not sit great with me.
That's a good point. Anyway, for Fong, it's Maddie on top with Dan, Randy, Crystal, Ken, GC, and Susie following. GC's funny. Not looking good for a pimp like me.
He is funny. I don't want to be on a tribe with him, mind watching him. He gets the Rocky Award of the season, where I'm like, all right, you're interesting to have around for me, the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the Survivor contestant, abso-fucking-lutely not.
They kind of comment on each other's tribes. Marcus said, it's surprising that Randy is so high, and he was the third. I thought a girl would be top two. Really, he's
saying Crystal.
Yeah, Crystal should be up higher. Randy says, yeah, I don't know, this doesn't show much. We just wrote names down.
Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, we're picking new tribes. And the two people at the top, Maddie and Marcus, are the new leaders picking these tribes. So Marcus picks for New Coda, Dan, Charlie, Randy, Corinne, Susie, Bob. And technically, they pick only one, but they were allowed to consult with their tribe.
Yeah.
For New
Fong. Which is important because we do see Ken make a choice that his tribe doesn't want him to make.
Correct. For New Fong, it's Maddie, Ace, Crystal, Jackie, Ken, Kelly, and GC, leaving Sugar all on her lonesome to go to exile. But she'll be back. She'll be going to the losing tribe.
This is great if you're Sugar. I mean, kind of. It does suck that now there's more attention on you for possibly having the idol, where mm-hmm. I don't think people would have suspected you before. But for these couple of days, yeah, you get to take comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You just get to relax in a hammock and eat fruit for 3 days. I mean, give homegirl a book or something. But yeah.
Yeah, man. Being by yourself just in a hammock for 2 days.
Sunbathe.
Yeah. I mean, she looked like she was swimming and having fun, but like, man, that would get old.
Yeah.
Oof. So, one, any comments that you want to bring up from this selection process?
I mean, the elephant in the room, well, I guess the elephant in the room is the next episode, but Ken being like, hey, yeah, take Kelly. Why take Kelly? I think his thought process is really good.
Mm-hmm.
If we're worried about being outnumbered, let's take the one on their tribe that it was ranked the lowest and had verbal, visible animosity towards the rest of them.
It's smart.
Take her on our side. And she hot, though.
And she hot. Which is not okay. Not the first woman he said that about this season.
No, and might not be the last.
And
he knows his priorities.
Charlie also very excited that Marcus is still around him and he can love him for the rest of his days.
Wow, that boy's got he's really in. He's really in on someone that is not even interested in his entire gender.
Mm-hmm. So we go to New Coda. And Randy's hanging around. He's a little nervous because old Coda will stick together. If it's not me, I'll go along with it. Whatever. If it's me, I'll burn the camp down.
I love that mentality.
Susie taking a different approach, saying...
burn the camp down.
They work well together. They value work, clearly.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a workhorse for this tribe, and I'm just going to do a lot of work around camp.
It's smart.
We then flash over to Exile... And like you said, Sugar takes comfort. She hangs out in her sugar shack.
I love that.
It's a good line.
And I will say, from a storytelling perspective, something that's cool about Exile is getting us time with someone that we might not have gotten time with otherwise.
Mm.
Like, Sugar might not be a strong player in the early game of Survivor, but she gets a lot of narrative because she's on Exile. Kathy was kind of the same way in Micronesia. And we're not always going to spend time with the person that's on Exile for very long. But it's endearing. I hope Exile sticks around, if for nothing else, for that.
Yeah. And she gets so much food. Pineapples, oranges, apples, coconut.
Yeah, it's interesting that it started as one apple, and now it's more. Probably because they get more clues, so they also get more comfort.
I think that's, the case. To incentivize them to maybe take the comfort.
Yeah. Mm. But it has the same problem that Exile will always have. Once it's obvious that the idol's been found,
everyone takes the comfort.
Yeah, or like in previous seasons when there wasn't a choice, it's just, all right, well, I guess I'm here.
I'll just hang out.
All right.
Cool. And she talks about how, well, eventually she's going to go back here and probably going to go to Fong, and because they'll probably lose. But then I can be with Ace, and hopefully they vote out Kelly. They will.
She's almost right.
They will. They aren't idiots.
That was the point where I wrote, so Kelly is safe. They wouldn't show it if she wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Over at Fong, GC's having a great time. This is perfect. This new split, it really helps out his game.
He was on the bottom and now he's not.
Yeah. Ace is going to show everyone where the ginger is because they can't find the ginger, but Ace knows.
Okay.
This next scene with Jackie and Kelly talking in front of Crystal... Hey, we were pretty close, right, Kelly? No. We weren't. I was alone with Paloma. You didn't really include us. Your group of four didn't include us.
Who do you believe here?
Oh, I believe Kelly.
Yeah, me too.
But Jackie's trying to put on a good show in front of Crystal.
Yeah. Although, Kelly, you do kind of gotta let it go a little bit.
You do.
Like, it goes her way.
Mm-hmm.
And give her credit for that. But you're showing a lot of your cards right away.
There's something to be said about knowing that I hate you, but not saying it out loud so that you have options to do whatever you want.
Correct.
But anyway, Crystal's so excited about this. She's an outcast. She can't stand Ace or Jackie. This is great. And then she just out and says it. I want to jump ship.
Yeah.
Let's do it. She says
the quiet part out loud a lot.
She also says Ace sleeps with Jackie and Sugar.
Yeah.
Like at night. That's, I mean.
She wasn't saying like having sex with them. No. Like, but yeah.
They're keeping each other warm. They're very close.
Which actually, now that I think about it, might be the thing that gets Jackie sent home. Because the whole reason they send Jackie home is, oh, well, she is going to go with Ace and that alliance. Kelly's not. And I think if that information isn't spilled, maybe they believe Jackie a little more of like, oh, I'm willing to flip or whatever.
Sure. And then Crystal, oh, he's Pimp Daddy Ace. That's a funny line.
It's a funny line.
And Ken says, I knew we could sway her and we got her. Right now, I'm only using her for her vote.
Okay.
I mean, makes sense. It's a weird way to say it, but makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that kind of what you're doing?
It's kind of the point.
You know, all of Survivor?
Yeah.
Like, that's what an alliance is. You're using each other for your votes.
Yeah.
You could also like them, and if you do, that's cool, but still.
No, I'm only using you for your vote. Anyway, tree mail.
I think that stronger alliances could be made from people that don't like each other than people that do.
That is a good point.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching for that.
Okay. Tree mail. We get a lacrosse stick looking thing in the mail, and
we're playing lacrosse.
What could this be? Susie talks about how, man, this game took a toll on my 47-year-old body. Like, this is not easy.
Yeah, Susie, we know it's not easy for you. We've seen you compete in the challenges. We know that this is not an easy game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or anybody, to be fair, but, like, Susie has been struggling.
Right. And Marcus teased this up with man, I don't know, Randy and Susie, they're both old. Let's see if they can hang in this challenge.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear another person say that Susie's strategy was working, where he goes, like, well, but Susie works around camp, and Randy doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Randy doesn't perform well, then we might as well get rid of him, because Susie's actually doing stuff around camp, and that was Susie's whole thing going into the swap. We don't usually get that, like, one-to-one confirmation that somebody's strategy is working.
Ah, yes, everything worked out according to plan.
Except they want immunity.
Right.
But, hey, that's better. That's a better plan.
But they're teeing it up with, man, Randy better do good in this challenge, otherwise he's going home. Cut to
Randy single-handedly winning this challenge.
It's like bumper boat lacrosse. It's very strange.
It's strange. Well, it's actually really, it's a lot like Whirly Ball.
Yes.
Which, for those of you that don't know, although I think I talked about Whirly Ball, basically you're in bumper cars, but like on land, not in the water, and you have a kind of like a track ball, like
scooper. A lacrosse stick?
No, but it's like the round, like the half round scooper thing, like the yard game where like you have a wiffle ball that you throw in like with a scoop.
It's that
instead of a lacrosse stick, it's but same
like,
idea.
It's like an arch.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that it's basically that, except they gave them an inefficient paddle. This is so close to a good challenge.
It is. I wonder how much they tested this.
Not enough. I can tell you that right now. Not enough.
Well, because some people were fine. Some people did great. Some people really struggled.
Just put a paddle on the other side.
Yes.
What are we doing?
We want to make it difficult, Jared. It's got to look cool. Yeah, so they're racing to go get the ball and put it into your opponent's net. This is essentially lacrosse, just on boats. So
on immovable boats.
Yeah. It's really funny because Fong struggles so bad in this.
Do you know who won this challenge for Coda?
Well, Marcus.
No.
But also Randy.
No.
What? Who?
Bob.
Oh, why?
Because at the beginning of every round, Bob was shoving Charlie to the center. Nobody else was doing that. That got Charlie there first every time and got them the ball while Randy got in position to score the goal.
Interesting.
Bob Yao-manned it. He outfought the challenge.
He physics teachered it.
Yeah. Yep.
That's fair.
I didn't see anybody else pushing, like, doing that.
I love it.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I have to mention that Crystal, Jackie, Kelly, Ken, none of them could control their boats.
Jackie did a good job.
She got stuck sometimes, though.
Yeah.
She would get out to the place. Like, listen, she wasn't stuck in place.
It's
like
a
some
low
of them.
Bar, but comparatively to the rest of everyone else, she did a pretty good job.
That's fair.
To the point that it is the thing, they're like, well, she did a good job today. Maybe we should keep her.
Yeah. Randy scores all three goals.
Yeah, it's funny.
Cutting to the chase, Randy scores them all. Coda wins, and Jeff says, at the challenge, this is one of the worst performances I've ever seen.
Oh, he says... Who was it? I think Ken. He calls Ken virtually useless.
I mean, he did not move.
I know. It's just weird to hear him say that. Virtually useless. I do want to say, I don't like Ace. Ace played his ass off.
He did.
He was paddling the boat with his hands.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I give credit. He was trying.
He's a competitor.
He can't win by himself, though.
No. Nope.
So... We get back to Fong, and GC says, wow, first look at the new Fong wasn't so great. And Ace's analogy here, we were like legless chickens versus sleek weasels, and we were losing badly.
Hey, what the fuck? What competition is what legless chickens versus sleek weasels?
That's what he said. I often think about legless chickens versus sleek weasels.
Oh, my.
Anyway,
everyone... What is I can't read my own handwriting here. That's unfortunate. But GC, he says something like, Kenny, you should something. He basically just like dogging Ken.
I don't have the exact words. He rips Ken a new one, but he says it in like this joking tone, like, ha ha ha, you idiot.
That's your alliance member.
I know.
When you were just, GC, you were just in danger. Like, it doesn't hurt him here, but it could. What are you need to keep your head down, dude.
And not to get ahead of myself here, but at Tribal Council, we have the same shit from a different person.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about that.
It's bonkers how you cannot see what's going on around you and be like, ah, these people who are accepting me and single-handedly keeping me in this game.
I can see why this season gets the rap of, like, being a season of first boots, because like GC very well could be a first boot on another season.
Yep.
Ken could very well be a first boot on another season, although I think he's better at the game. I just think that like he's so bad at challenges, or he's so not physical and a little socially awkward that yep. In the wrong season he could go home early. Kelly is absolutely a first boot in another season.
Yeah.
And like that's all on one tribe. And that's not including the people who have already been voted off.
We cut some very weak physical competitors already.
And there's more, like, I can't even remember, like, who on Coda would be, like, first boot material, but I'm sure there's at least one. Oh, I mean, hell, what's her name? Susie. Susie's a first boot on another season, possibly.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, we then do the scramble a little bit, where the original Fong kind of goes off, and they talk about who they want to keep, who they want to get rid of, and...
It's a good scramble.
It's a good scramble because they're talking, we could either keep Kelly, who would be loyal to us, but is awful at challenges.
Yeah, but I think you keep your numbers. I think you go the Boston Rob Marquesas strategy here and like, fuck it, I don't care if I don't win another challenge. Like, the game just rebalanced the tribes. They'll do it again.
Huh? I'll do it again.
Huh? I'll fucking do it again. But like, you have to keep the majority on this tribe.
Yeah.
And getting rid of Kelly puts that in question.
Mm-hmm.
Would they be tied at that point?
Well, here, essentially, it would be, because right now it's a 4-3 split. So they would just rebalance it to another fourth. Well, no, it would be.
No, because Sugar would be taking over Kelly's spot.
It would essentially be flip it. Yeah, 4-3.
Yeah, you absolutely cannot get rid of Kelly.
I agree. But they really think about it.
They really think about
it. That shows how bad Kelly was at this challenge.
Well, and how poor of social game players a lot of people in this season are.
Yeah.
That they're... And, like, to Jackie's credit, like, she sells her case well, and she basically says, like, I'm not as attached to them as you think I am. Like, I will flip to you guys. I don't believe her, but I can see the argument. And honestly, maybe it would have been good for Jackie to flip to them. Like, do you want to be the leader of the misfits or do you want to be the bottom of the power alliance? Like, if you have the numbers, be the leader of the misfits.
Actually, I think I was not counting Maddie in this. So it's Maddie, Crystal.
Oh, Maddie, I forgot about Maddie too. Yeah,
Maddie, Crystal, GC, Ken, and then three others. So it's 5-3.
Okay, so they could get rid of Kelly.
They could, but then it would be a...
It's narrow.
It's a narrow margin.
Okay.
So Maddie's surprised because he's not happy. Like, I want to keep Jackie. Like, what the hell? So he goes and he tells Jackie everything. And then Jackie begs for her life for the remaining few minutes before Tribal.
Hey, it's...
It's a strategy.
It's a strategy. It's a, like I said, I think this is a good scramble. I think Jackie did a good job. Mm-hmm. I think that Maddie actually played it okay too.
Yeah.
Like looking out for his own interests, or he's looking out for the tribe's interests, but he cares more about the tribe game than the individual game at this point. That's fine. That can, you can see that as a mistake. I see it as a different strategy. But I just really like this scene.
I always think it's preferable to make try to fight something rather than just roll over and die.
One thing I like about this season so far is that, yes, it is a lot of duds casting wise for like grand strategy, but they're all at about the same level.
Mm.
It's a lot of novices. It's not like half novices and half like experts.
Sure.
Which is not actually a dig at it being fans versus favorites last season, because a lot of the fans were also experts. I mean more like good strategic minds.
Yeah. This is you throwing them into a bronze rank match, but
yes,
it's still competitive. It's just a different kind of a game.
But then you get some feeders like GC.
So then we jump to Tribal Council and GC, hey, I love seeing you, Jeff, just not here.
It's funny.
Maddie talks in the third person, which is...
I miss that.
It's just kind of funny.
Huh. Okay.
Maddie wants to keep the tribe strong, you see.
I thought Ben was losing it.
Maddie talks about how he doesn't trust Ace.
Me neither.
I don't trust him, but I want him on my team. Like,
yeah.
Physically, I want him here, but I don't trust him.
That's
makes
fair.
Sense. Yeah.
And I think that's one of those where, like, you could argue, hey, Maddie, you're saying too much, but I think everyone kind of knows.
Yeah.
You're saying the part that everyone knows out loud, not the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. Jackie talks a little bit about, you know, I came here and I was excited because I thought we would have great teamwork. And then we got out there and we sucked. We were so bad. And
I think you just chalk this one up to a couple of them found out how to use the paddles better than us. Like,
yeah.
I don't think this is indicative going forward.
It's a tough challenge. And I don't know that anything like this comes back because of how poorly it was received.
Which sucks, because I like this challenge if they just gave him a fucking paddle.
Yeah. And at some point, we get on to Kelly was weak in that challenge. And Kelly's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Ken and Crystal were weaker than me. Two people who
don't
are your...
do that.
Two those, people you're working with.
Those, you already burned the bridges of the ex-Coda people, and now we're going after the ex-Fong people in Tribal that you need their votes?
It's a choice.
Kelly, you suck at this.
To the point that Crystal has to jump in and defend herself. She's like, I was trying as hard as I could. I just wasn't going anywhere.
Kelly, you suck at this.
And then Ken tops it off with Kelly and Jackie, they should be worried because one of them is going home.
Sure. Yeah.
Yep. So then we vote, and this is really funny to me. Just a note for that I thought was kind of hilarious. Jackie, name spelled funny, spells Kelly with an I.
Oh yeah.
She just likes a unique spelled name.
She's a millennial.
Yeah.
She's not, but she's a millennial.
Yeah. And then we read the votes. Jackie gone on a 5-2 line.
Bye, Jackie.
Bye, Jackie.
This is actually kind of a bummer because we didn't get a lot of Jackie before this episode, but I'm just going to get right into the how do I think she'd do in future seasons. Like, Jackie's very reminiscent of like Candace to me. She's a strong physical competitor. She has a pretty good social game and just ended up on the wrong side of the numbers and kind of got beaten down over it. She said in her confessional, like, oh, I was too good. They had to get rid of me now or they wouldn't be able to later. And like, usually that kind of stuff I roll my eyes at, but it was a little true. Like, I think she's one of the stronger players on this season. And like, typically he's probably like a final 7 to final 5 to, if the chips fall the right way, could win a season to me.
Ooh.
I don't think she's usually a winner. I don't think that she has the skills to be a, like, to have a good chance at winning. But if she ended up in the right spot in an alliance, it could happen. But usually, like, I think, like, Final 7, Final 5.
Okay. Well, she does not come back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The funniest note out there about Jackie is that she found love while playing the game of Survivor.
Okay.
Just not in the way that should happen. She had a romantic relationship with a producer.
Oh.
Causing his firing.
Oh.
As the one rule for producers is never messed with the contestants.
Oh.
And they later married. So she found love. So
okay.
Great.
Wait, so like, but like while she was on the show? Like, if he got fired, it must have been while, like, during casting or like while they were in Gabon.
I don't exactly know the circumstances.
So Jeff gets to date contestants, but this random producer can't? No, that's actually a good rule, jokes aside, because there's a power dynamic there that could get real gross real quick if it's not handled correctly.
Reading this article from International Business Times. Crazy.
Okay.
So I got fired, Ramsey told the magazine. I'd never been fired before, so I thought, if I'm going to get fired, I'm going to start an international incident. What? So I disappeared into the jungle, but after like 2 days, I had to come out for more alcohol. What?
So it must have been, he must have been involved with her during filming.
The game. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's bonkers.
Maybe it was like at Ponderosa.
That could be.
Wow. Anyway,
well, that's fun. Your protagonist of the episode.
That's insane. it's Ken, I think. Like, Ken's the one who picks Kelly. He's the one kind of running his alliance, or at least if he's not running it, he's the one that we get the most, like, narrative from in confessionals and all of that, of what they're going to do. And it's a kind of a weak protagonist episode. I think a lot of episodes that have a tribe mix up like this are going to have weaker protagonists because now we're dealing with the realignment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's Ken.
Okay.
I also want to say the next time on looks fucking insane. And I know that they are doing that, obviously, like, they want you to watch the next episode, so they're going to make it look crazy, regardless of what happens. But I'm glad that Eric told us that production is not supposed to follow you if you go alone. Because when we get that little snippet of them all screaming for GC, like, trying to figure out where he was, I would have been like, what do you mean? The producer, like, they have a camera on him. Why the fuck do they not know where he is right now? But knowing what Eric told us, that makes a lot more sense now.
Mm. Do we find GC? Does he just get lost forever?
No, we're going to find him eventually. But I guess we'll see if we find him for the challenge. That's crazy.
All right. Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turn Back Time podcast. Jared, anything you'd like to promote today?
I would like to promote making art with your friends. It's fun. I enjoy it. I like my friends. I don't think they listen to this podcast. I hope not. I don't want anyone I know in real life to listen to this podcast if I could help it. But yeah, make art with your friends. Make stuff with your friends. Do things with your friends. That's it.
Nice.
Steven, what about you?
Install microwaves with your friends. If your friend needs an extra hand to install a microwave, help them.
And then do it incorrectly the first time and come back and do it again 24 hours later.
You get it right the second time around. It wasn't that bad. It was just like a half inch gap that looked not great.
I wasn't secure.
We figured it out.
We figured it out.
For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
Oh god, my microwave, it fell down.
Not again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.